We're going on a picnic tomorrow. Anybody who wants to come is welcome. Krishna consciousness is all about enjoyment. If anyone gave a lecture and said that you're not supposed to enjoy, it's a Mayavadi lecture. Krishna consciousness is about having fun with a capital F. But it's purified fun. And Krishna says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Damurtaraha Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvanitir Nitir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the supreme mystic, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there is always beauty, opulence, victory, fun. I don't know if that word is in there, I just put it in there. Krishna is always enjoying Ananda Maya Vyasa. The nature of God is that he's enjoying ecstatic, loving pastimes with his devotees. And we are also being invited to go for a picnic with Krishna in the woods of Vrindavan. Yeah? So, tonight, I wanted to offer you a vision, or I wanted to open up your eyes to the wonderful society that Prabhupada is guiding, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes when we stay in a small city or any city, large or small, but in a particular place for a long period of time, we don't do a lot of traveling. How many of you have been to London? Okay, a couple of you. Yeah. How many of you have been to New York? Nobody. Okay. How many of you have been to India? Okay, a few more. But in general, we kind of spend most of our time in one place. And what happens is that we get caught up in the local scene. You know what I mean? Your environment and all the little problems and all the successes, whatever they add up to, the successes and the failures, the problems and the good times, and that is your general impression of what is ISKCON or whatever. But if you're, just like for example, CNN, right? How many of you watch CNN? Nobody watches TV. Yeah, I know. Anyway, on CNN, what they did is this guy, Ted Turner, who I gave a Bhagavad Gita to, by the way. I was going to give it to Jane Fonda, but then I thought I'm a sannyasi, I shouldn't. But he made $1 billion by showing people in, you know, a little small town in Nebraska, you know, Athabascus, Nebraska, some little unheard of town. All you gotta do is turn on their television and they can see, you know, Diana in London and, you know, war here and murder there and rape there and starvation in Africa, and, you know, they can learn all about the wonderful world they live in. Anyway, they get the big picture. So what I'd like to do tonight is show you a video of how ISKCON is growing in India, because our roots are in India. I went to India in 1972, and in those days, it was it was kind of discouraging to preach there. First of all, the very first thing that happened to us was that when we went to India, the devotees went earlier than 72, but sometime around 1971, one of our so-called friends, or I don't know, anyway, a big person, his name was Devanand. He was a big movie producer. Bombay is where I stayed most of the time. Bombay is, you've all heard of Hollywood? Bombay is known as Bollywood. Because they make more movies than anywhere else in the world, in India. And Bombay is like the capital. So Devanand was a big movie producer. And he invited the devotees over for kirtan at his house. But little did we know that behind the walls, he had a secret camera. And he was filming the whole thing. And then he made a movie, which, you know, he showed us in the movie in different ways. You know how they could put film together? They splice it, cut here, and cut and paste, it's called. Cut from one place, splice and put it in, and cut something from somewhere else and put it in, and then they can give a good picture or a bad picture. So he made this movie called Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And the theme song for it was sung by one of the most popular playback, they call them playback singers. Call them playback singers here? Okay. One of the biggest playback singers, Asha Bhosle. And the song was like this. Dhammardam Nichigai Ham Bola Sula Bola Ram Hare Krishna Hare Ram. It was very, very popular all over India. It became a big hit. It was kind of catchy, the tune was good. What it means is dumb means ganja, marijuana. And it was, what it was saying was, it showed pictures of hippies in Goa on the beach running naked and smoking pot and everything. And then it showed pictures of the devotees doing kirtan and, you know, and dum-ma-da-dum all day, all day long, just singing Hare Krishna, Hare Ram and smoking. Anyway, wasn't a very good start to our preaching. It was discouraging. But what it did do was it made everyone all over India aware of Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. They got the wrong impression, but whatever. We continued our preaching. Prabhupada was so courageous, so bold, and at 80 years old, he was so powerful, like a lion. And we continued our preaching, and very gradually, very high-class people began to recognize Prabhupada. Still, we weren't attracting the masses of people, or even the students. One of my godbrothers, Yashwamati Nandan Das, Gujarati devotee, got his master's degree in engineering in America, and then he joined ISKCON in America. He used to, in India, when he came to stay in 74, 75, he used to go to the colleges, and he'd come back and Prabhupada ask him, how was the preaching in the colleges? And he said, the students, they say, it's very good for the Americans. They've all seen material pleasure, material happiness, but we want to to work now. We want economic development. We don't want religion. We want economic development. So that was, we weren't attracting people. Of course, Prabhupada's answer was that if you want economic development like America, then you really have to work. They have morning shift, afternoon shift, evening shift, and you gotta work very hard. Then you spoil your whole life if you get economic development. I remember one boy, actually he's a very good friend of mine right now, but when he first came, this was the kind of devotee that was coming to ISKCON. He was working on the streets of Bombay. He was with the local mafia. And he was, stealing and this and that. And he was in jail. And somehow he got a magazine, one of the early Bhakti-guided magazines, and he saw the devotees and all the Americans. He thought, wow, when I get out of jail, I'm going to go there because it would look like there'd be a lot of things to steal there. So he came and joined the temple. But actually Prabhupada converted him and he became a very, very nice devotee eventually. But that was the kind of people. We weren't attracting good people. It was discouraging. It was hard. The weather was bad, a lot of devotees got sick, and even seriously, Harikesh Maharaj got very sick. Maybe his bad health started in India. So that was the kind of situation we were working in, and it was really discouraging. But over the years, we just kept on enthusiastically preaching, distributing books, and developing our congregation and preaching. And slowly, slowly, some students joined. Then after Prabhupada left, some very good people joined. And the first temple I'm going to show you today was built by a devotee by the name of Madhu Pandit. This is a 26 crores. It's about a $10 million temple. Beautiful temple. Incredible. Who was there? Hanuman was there. Mayapur building? No. Mayapur was there. It's the most beautiful temple in ISKCON. It's the most beautiful temple in South India. Granite, marble, gold. Three temples, state-of-the-art multimedia exhibition. You've got a big auditorium, 300 people seating capacity. On stage, you've got above the stage a huge screen about this long from here to the wall, or maybe longer, and 12 projectors plus a video projector with a dynamic slideshow all about ISKCON's history. And then you've got a bed on the stage. And who's lying on the bed? A Jamil. And he's very old. And, he's coughing. It's a puppet. It's a animatronics. It's a robot. He's coughing and old and, whatever. Then all of a sudden, these monsters coming from the side, Yamadutas. And there's about six of them. It looks like they're flying in from the right side. And they've got clubs. And they're shaking their clubs. And they're going after a Jamil. He's a simple man. He's been murdering, stealing, killing. And all of a sudden from the other side, the left side, is beautiful, the smoke everywhere. This stage smoke. And the Vishnudutas come in. And they meet the Yamadutas in the middle and they have this big discussion. And then the Yamadutas go back and the Vishnudutas. It's beautiful. Spectacular. And, you know, they have a huge arrangement for prasadam distribution. They have a brahmachari ashram with something like 150 rooms. They have a nice guest house. And they're the world's largest cell preaching program, Manohata cell program. It's practically, it's one of Jayaprataka Maharaj's main centers, that Bangalore and Mayapur. Yeah. Madhu Pandit he's a master's degree holder in engineering from the Indian Institute of Technology. They get about 150, 200,000 applications every year from students all over India who want to join that college. It's so prestigious. Anybody who gets a degree from Indian Institute of Technology, IBM is after them, Hewlett Packard is after them, everybody goes there to catch those great things. They accept about 100 applications a year. Madhu Pandit was a gold medalist. That means he was the top in his class in every subject. He and his wife also, I think she has a bachelor's or a master's degree, they're both very intelligent devotees. They went there alone. So anyway, Madhu Pandit and his wife went there with two or three brahmacharis, and they just took their time. They said, we want quality. And Madhu Pandit gave a lot of quality time to the devotees who joined. Not everybody could just move into the temple. They had to prove that they sincerely wanted to be renunciates. So now he has about 60 devotees, probably more now since the temple opened, but at that time he had 60 devotees, 48 of them were college graduates, about 10 of them were graduates from IIT, the Institute of Technology, and it was a really good group of devotees who had, they're completely in line. You know, they know the principle of how to achieve success by following authority. The authorities are very good. They deal with their people in a very loving and reciprocal way. Madhu Pandit, personally, in the morning, is there spending 2, 3, 4 hours with the devotees in the morning program. Anybody who falls asleep in Japa, they have to sit right around Madhu Pandit. They chant together. Make sure they chant around is nice. That's love. When somebody cares for your spiritual life, your internal life. Anybody who has any problems, Madhu Pandit is available from 7 o'clock in the evening till about 8:30. You make an appointment, he'll spend time with you. Any devotee is always there. You know you can count on him to be there. They have a huge congregation. They have thousands and thousands of people, many of whom are chanting, many of whom are chanting 16 rounds, many of whom are part of the Siksha program, and many of whom have been initiated. And they're very fired up. They built that temple, and they have many more things they can do. That's what I'm going to show you on video. The president of India is speaking and glorifying ISKCON. He's chanting from Sikshastakam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's saying how ISKCON has helped millions of people all over the world with their spiritual lives. It's very enlivening. It's very enthusiastic. He's very enthusiastic. It's very inspiring for us. If that were it, that would be enough for this evening's program. You know, to be alive, it's a great temple. We're doing good work. But that's not it. I realized a few years ago that there's so many things going on. India's our roots, our tree, the roots. When the roots are strong, the tree has got a good future. We're opening a $8 million temple in Delhi just next year, Narayani. Spectacular temple right in the center of Delhi. And Delhi is the political capital of India. And it has great influence on the whole area, India, the Indian people. Obviously, they play an important role, and their culture is so old and highly respected, and people love us. That temple is opening. Ahmedabad Temple just opened in April. That's a $4 million temple. And they had practically no guests per se. In their Sunday program, they might have 500, 600 people. Now they get practically every day 15,000 people a day visiting their temple on Sunday, 20, 25. Same in Bombay. You know, every Sunday, you go to the Sunday feast at Bombay Temple, everywhere. It's throughout the whole day, you count up. I've actually done a physical count with clickers. I had 3-4 people on clickers at the gates. You know, they got tired fingers. We're getting about 20,000-25,000 people, depending on what kind of movie is showing on television. But people love Radharas Bihari. Ahmedabad, Baroda just opened their temple on Janmashtami. A few days ago, they had their temple open. Coimbatore, a major city in South India, they have land 10 minutes from the airport, 8 acres of land, and they're building a big project, big temple. Madras, one of the major cities in South India, very, very important city. The devotees have a beautiful piece of land, 4 acres of land, right near the beach between Madras and Mahabalipuram. Major tourist route, and they have money. They've collected money. They have about 70-80% of the money they need to build a beautiful temple. Sanghur in eastern India. Again, they have a $3 million temple, which is going to open within this year or next year. Calcutta just started construction on a temple. It's downtown Calcutta. They have 4 acres of land in downtown Calcutta. 4 acres of, it's a lake, big lake. And right in the center of the lake, they're going to build a beautiful temple. It seems like the estimate for the temple now is around somewhere between $15 million and up. The reason is there, it's not just a temple on the lake, that's nice enough, but under the temple, there's going to be an aquarium. I know Bengalis like fish, but that's not why we're building an aquarium. The reason we're building an aquarium is that he wants to display as an exhibition Krishna's Dwarka Leela and other underwater pastimes when he went to visit Varuna. And so it would be an aquarium, and the aquarium can't be done properly in India, so it's being built in America. He has 3 top architects in America designing and helping him. Some Indians and some just American experts. And the whole thing, the glass, you know, you got a 20-foot long piece of, you know, 3-inch thick glass. This is being all imported from America. It'll take 4 or 5 years, but it's going to be the most spectacular thing in Calcutta. And then, of course, as we all know, within another 2 or 3 years, we're going to build the Mayapur. Well, maybe it'll take 20 years, but we're going to build the Mayapur Temple. And that's only going to cost us about $200 million. Pocket change for you guys, right? You can give your allowance money, we'll save it up. We'll do it. Bombay has 3 temples. Radhanaswami has a really nice temple downtown Bombay, right in the center of the city. And again, 80% of their devotees are college graduates. These good, educated, sincere devotees are joining. Devotees who can make a difference in preaching in India and around the world. Many have higher degrees, not just bachelor's, but master's and even PhD degrees. You ask anybody who's ever been there. Anuman's been there. He spent a couple of weeks there. Mayapur spent time there. It's one of the most lovely temples I ever went to. Not because of the building. The building's old and simple. The people are beautiful. Any guest is like a god for them. They give such hospitality. And the congregation is so, I'm not bluffing. You can ask them, and they'll tell you the same story, because I ordered them to earlier on. No, it's true. They've been trained so well by Rod Nussmeyer, who himself is the sweetest person in the universe. And he's trained now, nicely. And it's just such a nice community. You feel so happy to be there. And they have about 3,000 people in their congregation. And they're all just, you know, clones. I was going to say clones, that's not a good word. They're all dasam das of Radha Swami. They're all very gentle, sweet people. They're not all multi-millionaires. Some of them are. Mr. Mahapal Krishnachandra Pahudis. His family is the third wealthiest family in India. He pays for all the temple expenses. You don't have an expense, he pays for them all. Nice fundraising they've done. I'm envious. But they have such a nice congregation. They go on yatras all over India. They just take a week off and they'll go to Jagannath Puri. 400 or 500 of them. They'll rent a train and go to Jagannath Puri, chanting all the way. Mahapal Krishnachandra will organize prasad on the various stops on the train journey and accommodation. It's all done. You know, they just, oh, there you go. That's all they think about. Yeah. So nice. We're building a hospital. Krishnachandra is building a hospital. It's a devotee hospital, 200 beds. They have about 25-30 doctors, initiated doctors, run the hospital. Pure Krishna Prasadam hospital. No abominable activities like abortions and all that. Murder stuff. And loving care for patients. Every patient will be threatened that if he doesn't chant Hare Krishna before he dies, he's going to hell. Don't be like that. But they'll get spiritual counseling. They'll get good guidance. They'll be happy. You know, hospitals are miserable places. How many of you have been in a hospital? They're miserable. There are more diseases in a hospital than there are outside of the hospital. More likely to get sick in a hospital. Catch a virus or a fever or something. But this hospital will be run by devotees. It'll be on a no-profit, no-loss basis. They'll charge, but, you know, it'll be very, very reasonable for the Indian public. And the top floor will be for Ishkan Gurus and Sannyasis, no regular group. No. That'll be for everybody. Different devotees who have spiritual, who have some disease or illness or whatever, they'll get treatment there. And it's really going to be a nice hospital. I look forward to getting sick and going there. Juhu, we also have a big congregation, 1,000, 1,500 people. Lots of programs. We had a program for Prabhupada Centennial at the beginning. We had a big stadium. We just thought, well, we need a place. What should we do? We rented a stadium. There were over 40,000 people came to glorify Prabhupada. The chief minister was there. A number of other ministers, the wealthiest man in India was there. They all glorified Prabhupada. Spectacular. We're building another temple. We have three congregations. We have another congregation which just happened by accident. It wasn't arranged. It wasn't prearranged. They bought a piece of land right beside the same place as the hospital was being built, just across the road. It was totally by accident. And they're building a big temple. Delhi has a huge congregation. One devotee told me there his family is one of the wealthiest families in India. Surya Lights and Tubes. It's the number two after Philips in India. Plus they have many other businesses, but a very big family. The son of the owner, who's also a businessman in his own right, he's a disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and he's like Krishna Chandra. Krishna Chandra, although he's a billionaire, but he is so humble. Everybody in the community will tell you that he's the most humble devotee in the community. He comes, he waits on the brahmachari's hand and foot, any devotee. He's so compassionate and kind, he's a gentle soul. In the temple, he's like just a, you know, businessman, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. In business, he doesn't play games. He's tough, but when he comes to the temple, he's just very sweet and humble and respectful. And he and his wife and his lovely children, and they love to have devotees over for kirtan and prasadam, and it's really a treat to go there. So in Delhi also they have another man like that who's very gentle, humble, intelligent. He steals money from his father. He needs a few $1 million here and there. Father doesn't miss it. And gives it to the temple, or the Delhi temple. You get up on that level, I know it's hard for you guys to understand, but you get up on that level, $1 million is like pocket change, you know. Funny, you know, I wish I had that kind of pocket change. I buy that Sankirtan vehicle I always wanted to get anyway. He told me that the way their congregational preaching is going, within 10, 15 years, they should have about 50,000 people in their congregation. And it's just like that all over India. And it's very good news for all of us because, you know, those devotees, someday Indians are going to get Prabhupada's message that they're meant to come out of India and help us in our preaching work. And right now, you know, because we're just a bunch of young people who, you know, doing some strange things, and, you know, people think we're a cult or a sect or whatever you want to call it. They really don't know about us. But if we had, you know, some of the biggest people in India saying, this is our culture, this is our religion, this is our history. It's over 5,000 years old, by the way. It's older than any other religion in the world. And here's our scriptures, you know, the best technology available, philosophy, and the nicest rituals you ever want to be involved in, and, you know, intricate, logical. Things should take off. But then, you know, Prabhupada said, of course, he told us once, he said, I'm just waiting for my disciples to surrender. He said, I can conquer the whole world in 18 days. You know, Arjuna, the battle of Kurukshetra, 18 days. Anyway, our preaching will definitely take off. So I want all of you to appreciate this video. It's a little difficult to understand the president of India, his speech. So you have to listen carefully. Jai Prataka Maharaj gives a little long speech also. Nice. But I want all of you to be encouraged that you belong to a wonderful society, and we're making a lot of progress on many different levels. We're growing in our maturity, we're growing in our organizational ability, our prestige is growing, we're learning how more to build our communities in a very good way, dynamic way, loving way, etc. So we should all be fired up, have a lot of renewed enthusiasm, work together. That was Prabhupada's instruction to us. Your love for me will be demonstrated by how you give up your false ego, how you kick politics in the teeth, and how you just work together for creating something nice. So that's, you know, as a representative of the GBC body, I know that they would also will say the same thing. Please, all of you, work together nicely, cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.